When was the last time you felt scared?
Now.
You inherited a load amount of debts. How scary was that?
I had a lot of panic attacks and anxiety attacks. Even though there's no sound in my room, I hear a...
Huh? Did you cough out any of your personal savings too?
Guess what?
Surprise! Get some money for you.
Fear is saying in my head, Sylvia, everybody is going to hate this podcast. But I really wanted to chicken out 2 days before.
Really?
Yeah.
The shooting?
Yeah. Top 10 mistakes that a startup makes.
Yes, yes.
I had criminal lawyers.
Yes, yes.
Corporate lawyers.
Yes, yes.
Divorce family lawyers.
Yes, yes, yes.
What if you fail and people see that you are an imposter?
What's the insight here? What good came out of it?
If there's one thing that I think I've done right to push through all these fear is...
Ooh, it's a biggie.
Hi, I'm Sylvia, and you're watching Dirty, Messy, Free.
Free! Sorry, a bit slow. This is Dan. I'm a bit slow today. Welcome to another episode of Dirtier, Messier, Freer Conversation.
Yes, yeah. Today,
yes,
as promised, mm-hmm. Right, we're going to be talking about a big thing in a lot of people's life.
Yes,
right?
that holds people back.
Yes, and that is...
Fear. Woo! It's a biggie. So we've already talked about anger. Today we're going to talk about fear, which is also another, what I call a cock-blocking emotion.
Yes.
Right? Because it usually stops people and hold people back from pursuing their dream life, their aspirations, and everything that they so desire. Mm. So what's your relationship with fear? Are you well acquainted with it? Is it an enemy or is it a friend?
Ooh. So, mm-hmm. I didn't expect you to ask this question, mm-hmm. but remember I said that, you know, when I did that whole inside out thing and mm-hmm. I categorize, you know, I can see all my feelings. So when you say that, I immediately know who is fear. So, right, fear is always this like girl sitting in this room that I have, and fear is always just there. Mm. Yeah, she's like black, she's small, she's dark, she's just sitting there. Mm. So at least that is what I see or feel. Mm. And what's my relationship is, I've gotten used to her presence. Mm-hmm. I slowly see what she does.
Do you think fear is trying to protect you?
Ooh.
Like anger does, right?
I think it's different. Mm. Fear has a different role, which maybe later we can explore.
But when was the last time you felt scared?
Now.
Now? Now, huh? Sorry. Now you're scared, huh? Actually, correct, leh. I'm usually very scared before, like, recording or teaching a masterclass or doing IG Live. I get very anxious. Mm. You know, I think anxiety is almost like a cousin of fear as well,
yes.
Being scared. Yeah, so I'm usually very scared. But after 5 minutes, I'll get into the groove.
And I got a reason why that happens.
Why?
Should we share later?
Okay. 你是吊人家胃口, you cock teaser.
No, because the lessons come later.
Okay, so anyway, I have some questions for you.
Okay.
Okay, now, we all know that saga, right?
Yes.
You inherited a load amount of debts as well when you took over the business.
Yes.
Oh. Was that scary? How scary was that?
Wow, I think if we're talking about scary experiences and the times in my life that I was the most fearful of everything.
That ranks really high up.
Ranks really, really high up. Mm. I don't think... that because, you know, I don't spend a lot of money, you know, I grew up in quite a not rich family, quite borderline poor. Mm-hmm. The idea of debt scares me already. Mm. And I make sure I live my life in a way that I don't incur debts. Mm. So remember, I don't have credit cards, I don't have things like that. In that point in time, when I saw the amount of debts and I was the one responsible to take care of it, it was fear.
Right.
It was pure fear.
And terror, right? Like,
yes.
It just takes over. Yeah.
And now that you mentioned anxiety and whatever, I think I can also talk about what really happens when you have a lot of fear, at least for me at that time. Mm-hmm. It was not just an emotion that was there and everything, but I could bodily feel fear. And I started to have anxiety attacks, panic attacks, which now I stopped having them. But at that time, it will manifest in so many areas. Mm. And for me, panic attack, anxiety attacks came in the form of, I felt that it was not just fear washing over you, but I felt like my senses became very warped. every time I had a panic attack, I don't know how to explain this. I'll try to explain it, okay? So it's like when I touch things, they feel very gigantic. When my panic attack come, I couldn't even like touch things because everything that I was touching will feel very big. Even though there's no sound in my room, I hear a lot of things magnified. So everything was very loud.
And very overwhelming, right?
Yes. Yeah. And it's very scary because then I will learn to freeze on the spot and just breathe until that goes away. Because everything was just big. I don't know how to tell you.
Yeah, it's terror and it's crushing.
Yes.
Debilitating.
Everything was big.
Bigger than you.
Everything was just big. I had a lot of panic attacks and anxiety attacks at that point in time. So what was fearful was, of course, looking at the amount that I have to take care of and really have to go in and solve it.
It was an amount that you could not pay, is it, personally?
Honestly, you know, when things were dumped upon me, right, it was like I was questioning, do we have the money to pay?
Yeah.
Then I realized, wait a minute. It's not do we. Do I have the money to pay? You know? You can't put that responsibility on anybody else at that point in time, right?
These were debts incurred from what?
Company.
Unfinished projects or, you know?
Oh, yes. Good that you asked, right? So there were, you know, the company has collaterals, right? You take loans to buy the office, you know? You take business loans for COVID and things like that. And if things go well, you can pay.
Yeah. When you have cash flow and it's healthy.
Correct. Yeah. But when you don't have cash flow, how do you pay?
And you didn't have cash flow because all the jobs stopped.
Right.
Contracts were pulled.
Yes. Or clients were like unfinished projects, right? There were even clients that say things like, you have to give me money back now that you are pulling out.
Even though, let's say, for example, you've already done half the project, right?
There were so many projects that were half done.
And I think there will be people who will abuse that also because they say, now it's your problem, right? You caused a problem. And the down payment that we kind of gave you in advance, we want that piece back.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was in a headspace where I don't know really how much money we have, right? I saw that we're bleeding money because OPEX, right, at that time was 120K a month just for salaries. So I knew that OPEX, that 120K is a gone case, right, every month. And then when the revenue stopped coming in, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And then when clients were pulling out, and then, like you said, there were really nasty ones that tried, you know,
to capitalize on the situation,
So I was trying to fight those money that was bleeding out and everything. And then I saw, okay, what assets and liabilities do we have? And then I saw the liabilities. I was like, holy shit. And then I looked around. I realized that I wasn't the one that made all these mistakes. And I looked around and I realized, but I was the only one left to clean up these mistakes.
How come the other people are not liable or responsible and it fell on you totally 100%?
I think it was because during that time, there was a transition of the company, right? From the previous partner, right, to me. And I really thought I was going to inherit a healthy company the way that it was.
Right.
But it just so happened that the situation made it that I inherited something that I thought was good, but it became a sinking ship.
Okay, so let's clarify this, right? So you inherited the company and you became the person responsible.
Yes.
Before the saga.
No. So it was doing fine. It was doing great.
Okay.
Yes.
So because of the saga, it started to sink.
Yes. And that was also a period of time when it was getting handed over to me.
Right.
And then I couldn't say, I don't want it now.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
So it was like my hands are tied.
So good days didn't last very long, lah.
No. It was really the transition period when I was primed to take over the company.
So how? Where did you resource all the money and stuff? All your debts are clear, right?
Yes.
Okay. How are? How come you're so superwoman?
So I think, I think whatever is meant to happen will always happen, right? So I looked at all those liabilities and everything, right? And I really had to make really, really hard decisions. Number one is letting go of people to stop the OPEX from bleeding.
Yes.
Right? There were a lot of legal things that I had to work around with whoever teammates were left. Either finish up the projects, do or die. There were still some projects that the clients were like, do or die, finish it. You know? And there were only outlier, very small handful of clients that say that, you know, let's just finish it. The saga is okay. Let's push through. So those clients were a big help. Because at least those projects were completed.
Okay.
And then money came in. I used to be so blur about things like property prices, you know, and like loans and interest. But I really had to sit down and learn all these things mm-hmm. so that I know just how much loan I have to pay off, what's mm-hmm. the minimum I have to pay off, what's mm-hmm. the maximum, and what all the redemption. I really, like, really pushed myself to learn all these things.
They became essential skills, yes. right, to survive, right?
Correct. Mm. And all these startup mistakes, I think I say hi because it was really, I looked around and I was alone. I looked around and I had to clean up.
You never thought of running away from all these responsibilities?
I did. I did.
Is it because you have a huge sense of responsibility? Like, you, among everyone, you are the one that has the most sense of responsibility. That's why you took it upon yourself as well. To clear all these things in the right way.
Yes. You know? I think there was a part of me that was really trying to say that. But it's not my responsibility. I didn't make this happen. I'm going to find every way, you know, to get myself out of this hole.
Yeah.
But there was another part of me that was like, what if you cleaning up alone will teach you something that's very valuable? Yeah. At that time, it did not look like that, okay?
Yeah, of course.
But there was really just one part. I said, just clean up still. One day, you might just need this skill.
Mm-hmm.
I clean up. And then, very luckily, I don't know how, because, you know, I'd have no idea of how the accounts work. Mm. But there was one client that we worked with for many, many, many years. They said, by the way, 我来记账, let me come
do a grand tally.
Grand tally.
They actually had some amount that they didn't pay you yet.
Yes. So they haven't paid us a huge sum.
Oh. What a relief.
Babe, I was like, oh my goodness. Because that money is not there, right? And with no visual of the accounts, you don't know what is incoming, you know who paid already. Mm-hmm. So it looked like they already paid.
Mm.
But they were so honest. Mm. They came and said that, actually, you know, we haven't paid you this large amount.
I love this.
And I was like, I have money to pay my loans.
Yeah.
No, because in my head, right, I was like, do I have to sell everything I have?
Right.
Does it have to come up from my pocket?
Did you cough out any of your personal savings?
Some.
Okay.
Definitely. Mm. But that client being so honest. Mm,
really, right, helped you a lot.
Yeah, then I thought, you know, I even thought that, am I going to go bankrupt? Because I really couldn't pay, you know? But that client came back and it was a huge six-figure sum.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, thank God.
This is great because I feel that, in a way, the universe was trying to help you. You inherited something that you didn't create in the first place. Debt that didn't really belong to you, but you assumed the responsibility.
Yeah.
Then the universe sent you this surprise care package.
Yeah.
And said, ding dong. By the way, I think you ordered this thing. And you're like, no, I didn't. Yeah. You know, you open up and you say, oh, yeah, I did. You know, I ordered, you know, we go online shopping, right? Then buy a lot of things, right? Then after that, you forgot you ordered that thing. Mm. Surprise!
Yes.
Here's some money for you.
Yes. And I want to say that also because in the midst, right, of client pulling out and people trying to capitalize on it or not paying at all or pretending that they paid and ask us for money back, it was really a lot of honesty from that client because the truth was, I wouldn't have known they haven't paid.
Mm.
That was the truth, you know. I didn't know. And for them to say, you have money.
Mm-hmm. So thankful.
Yeah.
Wow. Phew.
But also, you know, out of this, guess what?
What? You learned a lot.
I learned a lot.
You had a fucking MBA, PhD.
Yes, then. It's really, you know, like, did I want this experience?
No.
Was this a good experience? No. I was like, bricks, you know, every day. I was just so scared.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if you tell me, can I give a class, right, the top 10 mistakes that a startup makes, I can tell you so easily off the list.
Right.
And if you ask me, can I teach a class, right, how to avoid these mistakes, I can give you a class. Even if you tell me how to clean up common startup mistakes, I can give you that class well.
Yeah, supercharged learning.
Right.
It was basically education.
Yes, because I feel like when you're a successful business and everything seems like it's running fine, you really don't see the cracks in your business or where the areas that can be weak are because you're just running like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when your ship starts to sink, you start to see that this joint here is weak. That's why it cracked. This, you know, spot here was never plastered well. That's why it cracked. So for me, it was like a masterclass and these were the areas of weaknesses in your company, in your startup all along.
Mm.
And I realized I wouldn't have learned this when a company was successful and doing well.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, you had insights that were not available to people who were just on a success streak.
Correct. Right?
But because there was this real situation of failure, literally, yes. right? That you learn so much.
Correct.
Precious lessons. So many.
Yes. Mm. And I know like there were many days, and I don't want to discount this, but there were many days that I cried my way through these things, right? Before that client showed up and, you know, do I have this experience? I do. Yeah, and I feel so happy that I have all these skill sets now.
Other than this that is scary.
Yeah.
There are other scarier parts also, right?
Of course. There are so many scary parts.
The legal stuff as well must have been very scary. So you want to walk us through that.
Yeah. I realize I haven't talked about the legal stuff, right? Yeah. All this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, just now when I said I was cleaning up, a lot of legal things also happened.
Right. Example?
Well, then, do you know the cost for legal was so high? And I want to say... It was a sum that I was shocked, but it was a sum that had to go because this person here has no legal know-how whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that the cost was so sky high also because the legal stuff already started from our divorce onwards.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. And kind of, it led to the saga, right? The breakdown of the legal stuff, like, kind of led to the saga. And it continued on for, actually, guess how long? Guess when did my legal stuff really concluded?
3 years? 4 years?
Last month.
Huh?
2 years.
2 years.
The last item only finished and completed last month.
Wow.
So it was really a legal battle for at least 2 years or even more.
Right.
When we had a business, you know, there were a lot of contracts, a lot of agreements. And as an entrepreneur, you kind of know what's up. Mm. But you never really know which clauses were the weak ones, you know, which one is, you know, the legal team. You know, you don't know what's a mediation. You don't know what to do when people break contract. You don't know the difference between a lawsuit and, you know, just serving things. It was a crash course. And a very scary crash course and a very costly crash course that I attended. It's like an MBA again.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really painful. I switched lawyers along the way as well. I learned so much about how the legal system works. You know, what can be fought, what cannot be fought. So, again, right, that was scary because it was in a realm that you really were led by the nose by the person that you are hired.
Right. You didn't have enough know-how or expertise.
Zero.
So you had to really kind of relinquish all the power to someone who is an expert.
Yes.
Right? And this person say, do this, you say, okay.
Yes.
This person say, pay this much, you say, yes.
Yes.
Because you had no other option.
Yes. Mm. And remember, there was the looming police cases on me. So I was like, so over-reliant and dependent initially on my lawyer. Sad thing is, of course, some people will capitalize on this situation as well. And I switched lawyers along the way because I felt like we weren't getting anywhere for the longest time. And then I switched to a lawyer that a friend, my divorce lawyer, actually suggested and said, babe, it seems like your corporate staff were not moving. Can I recommend somebody? And I was so scared to switch lawyers as well at that point.
Yeah.
Because
so much work already done. Right?
Yes, yeah. And everything was crashing down and you really don't want to change
things. Any more changes, yeah.
Yes. But the new lawyer came in.
Was it better?
He was so good. And that's why now I'm like, I also know which lawyers are good, which lawyers are good for what. So there were criminal lawyers, you know, and then there's corporate lawyers, and then there's divorce family law lawyers. I also have an insight on the law industry, like who is good, who does what. Some are contract lawyers.
What makes a lawyer a good lawyer? Like in terms of, you know, you hire different legal help, right? What makes them good in your opinion?
So now I know that even lawyers, they have their specialty. You cannot get a family lawyer to fight for you if you're really going for a real corporate suit. You cannot really count on a contract lawyer who really does contracts to be the one that goes to court to fight for you, to enforce and go litigation for you. It's all different.
And do you think when it comes to legal expertise, there are those with integrity and without integrity as well? Because my own experience, right, is that when you hire legal advice and help, they don't really have a sense of wanting to wrap up your case so quickly.
Correct.
Because why would they?
Yes.
Right? Because every letter that you send and write is just more money in their pocket. So I do think that integrity is very important in this industry.
It is crazy. Yeah. So I had three different set of lawyers actually because of all these open cases. Mm. A corporate lawyer, a family law lawyer, and even a criminal lawyer because of what was going on. And I really started to see the difference also. And again, right, I say the universe will always present and let things unfold. That the last two current lawyers that I have, they were, I felt really taken care of and not just capitalized on, you know. They were, especially my family lawyer, right? I think because she's also a woman. And she's like, babe, I cannot see you like this anymore, you know. Let's push this. Let's make things happen. So it was really fearful, at least for the greater part. And then when I really moved to lawyers, it became a space where I was a lot less fearful. And I'm, again, so glad to have learned all this. So again, is it a masterclass in life for me? It is.
It is.
Again, do I want this? No. But do I have this experience? Yes.
So what is the insight here? Like, you know, going through these very intense experiences that you didn't ask for, you didn't want or desire them, but you were put through them. And then now on hindsight, what's the insight here? What good came out of it?
It builds confidence in you in hindsight. But when it's happening, it's total shit. I really don't want to disregard. Like, when it's happening, you really feel like there's no way out. You're scared you're going to die and everything bad is going to come down. But I think what's good is that after you go through it, you have a skill set, you have experience, and you have that sense of confidence and faith that you really wouldn't have prior.
So would you say that in these fearful episodes, even if they were unwanted, there will always be wisdom and material and opportunity and invitation for you to expand to your next level. Like all the MBA that you went through, the PhD, it's up-leveling.
Yes, that is true. And I think I got one more story to share how that works out is, so you know, after the police came back and said I was innocent, right? What happened was that, you know, I've worked 10 years in this space. But I remember I cried to my best friend, Carmen. I was like, babe, I think I have no skills. I don't think I can find a job anywhere else. Right? I feel like I don't have skills. She's like, are you crazy? You know, you've been a decade doing all this. You have skills. But at that moment in time, especially with the public perception and everything, you are worthless, you're stupid, you suck and everything. You really come to a place where fear is paralyzes you.
So you were fearful about your future and your career prospect.
Yes.
And how are you going to make a living now that everything has been destroyed?
That part was also very, very fearful. And I want to talk about how paralyzing fear can be. That you start to diminish yourself because other people are saying how lousy you are. So you start feeling really small, right? You feel like there's a chain that's binding you. So you're very small. You're really useless. So I felt like I have no skills at all. I really have to push through that and took up one offer. And Alchemy happened during that time, which was, oh my god, this is quite funny. Can I just share how funny this was?
Yes.
So I took on a job, regional role, right? Sounds difficult. So I was like, never mind, you know, I will learn. And then I realized that job is so easy. I was like, do people get paid money to do this job?
Okay.
That was a really a big shift because I expected things to be really difficult. You know, I expected that I really had no skills. But when I finally took on something, I realized I could do it. I could go on autopilot. Like the skills and experience you have in life, they never really go away. Even when you don't think you have skills, you cannot articulate that you have skills, right? It's like the moment the brief comes, I knew exactly what to do. You know, the moment they say, I need a strategy plan, you know, in 12 hours, I got this. Then it became like, hey, you know, there's so much fear telling you, you cannot, you cannot.
So that's a monkey brain telling you that you couldn't do this thing, this job, right? It's too big for you because it's regional.
Correct.
But then the facts are when you went into the role, it, you had everything. You had the resources, you had the expertise and the knowledge.
Yes. And it was like, hey, this is easy.
Surprisingly to you.
Yes. And then when they got me the campaign, which was the, you know, the Singaporean presidential election campaign, in my head again, Fear was saying different things. It was saying, how dare you do a job like this when mm-hmm. your own reputation is in tatters? Mm. How dare you, you know, try to build somebody up? You know, what if you fail and people see that you are an imposter all along? Mm. Because it was really trying to create, at least that brief to me, was on social media, right? Give presence to this person that was participating in the election. He's not been known prior. He's a nobody in that sense in the digital sphere. Mm. And they're like, give him presence. And I was so scared to take on that job.
Yeah.
Because in my head, the fear was saying, if he doesn't gain that presence, right, it means that you are not good at what you do.
Yeah, you fail at your work. You had one job. You had one job.
Yes.
And you fail at it.
Right. Yeah. And you've just proven that yourself that you kind of can do. Mm. And if you can't do this, again, you go back to square one. Mm. But what happened was...
So happy. Huge success.
Then, you know how scared I was when I saw I was given an account with zero followers. Mm. And they said, start it, build it. Mm. You know, and I saw the other candidates, right? They were like getting like 16k followers, mm-hmm. you know, some like another candidate. I think he ended up maybe 50k followers. And
then your
right?
candidate, leh?
I started with zero. Uh-huh. I had 6 weeks, right? Uh-huh. And I gave it back to him with 170k followers.
Whoa, well done, man.
I know.
Yeah.
And again, right? Like, if I've listened to that fear mm-hmm. and say, don't take on this job because mm. if you up, mm. then everybody will not hire you ever again. Mm. But I took it on, right? Mm. And then I realized, can one. Yeah, step by step. Actually, you know what to do. Mm. What is the lesson that I've learned? Number one.
Maybe some of you thought you were never going to see me again. Height of my seven-figure career, I was last seen brutally canceled online. After 2 years of learning my lesson the hard way, I'm back.
Hi, I'm Dan. I'm Singapore's most unconventional life coach and also Sylvia's 13th and current life coach.
And we are here to show you how to human.
Let's burn the manual. Also, seeking quick fixes for our issues.
New rule, we confront what makes us uncomfortable. Sitting with all our fears and despairs, it sucks. But it is the only way out.
Also, chasing external success for happiness.
New rule, happiness and success is an inside job.
Successful people who feel empty on the inside, they are a real thing.
Looking for battle-tested mentors who have been through the dirty and messy bits of life to show you how?
Join us for our masterclass called How to Human.
I've spent over 6 figures in coaching and therapy to distill these lessons, which we are going to teach you in this one class.
I'm Daniel Lim.
I'm Chan Sylvia. Let's relearn how to human.
What is the lesson that I've learned? Number one, fear never really goes away. Mm. Persona that I mentioned, right, that small, fearful, dark girl in the room, she's always going to be in the room. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing that I think I've done right to push through all these fear is do it scared.
Yeah.
It never goes away.
Yeah.
It really does not. Mm. The only way you can push through is just to know that it's there, you don't care, you do it anyway.
Yeah. You know, I feel that a lot of people say, oh, this person is fearless, that person is fearless.
I hate.
No, it's not that they're fearless. Yes. It's just that they just got good with fear. Yes. Right? Fear is not the problem here, you know. It is the unwillingness to feel fear that is the problem. That we all run away from it.
Yes.
And it stops us from taking action.
Yes. And that term, be fearless, I think that term is utter bullshit. Mm. It gives people the perception that there are some people who just don't have fear. Mm-hmm. No, it's not true.
It's not true. It's not realistic. So what people then tend to expect is that, oh, I can only do this thing when I don't feel the fear.
Yes.
But no.
No.
The fearless people actually, that's not the real situation here.
No.
Although it might look like it, it's that they probably are so used, their nervous system is so used to feeling that level of fear and they have a higher threshold and a capacity for it. Doesn't mean that the fear wasn't there.
Correct.
It's still there, but they did it scared.
Yes, it's to do it scared, right? And the second lesson that I've really learned from all this is, okay, somebody gave me this learning, which I was very happy with. So, you know, I'm doing a lot of self-work. So, one day I went to a boot camp. There was a participant that shared. He shared that one thing I was very proud of myself is I have financial confidence. And I was like, what is he talking about? And he's like, it's not the amount of money in my bank right now, but the confidence that I will always be able to make money.
I love that.
And I was like, bro!
Right.
I'm coming to this boot camp just to hear this line.
And it's worth the ticket price. Worth, the price of the ticket. Yes,
and he was a participant, not even the host. When you don't have that confidence, right? And that was me last time, right? You are so fearful because you see this amount of money in your bank.
And it's dwindling.
Yes.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh, how can I scream and save to save this amount that's already here?
That's never the approach.
You know?
Yep.
And then you get so fearful about losing.
Yep.
No, I think confidence really comes from knowing that you have the ability to fill that thing up again and again. That's the real confidence. I was like,
That is the money shot, pun intended.
Right.
I feel that it's like, most people get, especially when we talk about your first two scary things, which is the legal stuff and the debt and everything, right? And then the legal stuff was very costly as well.
Yeah.
A lot of that stress and fear would have been created by the lack of financial stability and sense of security, right? And I think a lot of people have to grapple with fear of not having enough in their bank account. But I feel that the true currency that we have in life is not cash. It is not the bank balance. It is self-confidence and your own personal bankability.
Yes.
Can you bank on yourself? So this is my take. So I have a very strange way of buying stuff, you see. So sometimes I have rather expensive taste and I will have big ticket items that I want to buy, right?
Yes.
So for example, let's say I want to buy this thing and it costs X amount. And if I look at it, I say, wow, actually it's very expensive. I might not have the money to buy this thing right now. And most people will say, I cannot afford it. No, right? But no, these days my brain goes the other way, which is I go like, how can I afford this?
Yes.
Instead of saying, no, I cannot afford it.
Correct.
If I truly want that thing, I will like, how can I afford this? So then my brain goes to seeking the solution to the problem of, okay, I want to afford this. I'm not going to walk away from it.
Correct.
And then guess what? I will do internal resourcing, right?
Yes.
I will fall back on my capabilities, my expertise, my ability to generate income. I feel like I'm an income machine.
Yes.
I have the confidence in myself.
To build that bank account for yourself over and over again.
So that even if, let's say, you have a sinking ship that you're dealing with, right? If you have debts looming over your head, right? It is not the end of the story.
Exactly.
Because you can always bank on yourself.
And also, I think the last lesson, right, that has to do with this is also really have faith that things will unfold well for you.
Yes.
Because you can think, oh, it's a sinking ship, I'm losing money every day, right? But a couple of that confidence, it's also the universe also says, right, yes, you're paying out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But should you wish to use the skills that you have given now, there are a lot of people who would give you a lot of money to do what you do. Right? Which is why, like, then, you know, I get requests still, right, sometimes when people are like, do you want to manage my social media? You know, or after that, you know, presidential campaign that I did, those people who knew that, oh, so you were the lead social media lead, they were like,
they want to hire you.
Yes. Mm. And I'm like, me, really? I never thought that I could ever, like, you know, give a class or people would be interested in this knowledge from me. But they're like, you know, I want to build a brand from zero, right? And I have that confidence now because it's not like, oh, I built something from zero to big 5 years ago. It is like just recently I built somebody and it's somebody that nobody knows from zero to 170 in 6 weeks. So I can do it, right? So I think the universe gives you all these things. And my last lesson is that I think this experience will come no matter what. The lessons are free.
Yeah.
Just take it.
Right, right.
Just take these lessons. I think there was a part of me that was like, when it was happening and there was a lot of fear, you are like, I don't want these lessons. I don't want this experience. But it's going to be here. It's like a roller coaster, right? You're already halfway doing the circle, right? You can't get down anyway. So you can really cry and shout about it. Or you just lean in, do, and then you'll be rewarded with a lesson and skill an experience out of it that you can use to fuel building your bank account again or your confidence again or everything. I feel like it's like full circle.
Yeah. I feel that fear, right, can be, and again, there is a choice here, right? We have to bring this, we have to increase our level of awareness such that we see fear for its power. And this power, it has a lot of power, right? So it has power to either paralyze or cripple you, or it can actually be the power and the precursor to immense personal and business growth.
Yes.
It's powerful. How do you want to use this power? How do you want to harness it?
It's good that you say that because I think now, sitting here, right, are you scared?
Yes.
Yeah? I love that. Right.
Yeah. Always and scared.
It is scared. Every time it's scared.
I'm a scaredy cat, no, actually.
Is it?
It's just like
I'm also very timid.
Yeah, it belies. And this is interesting because you know how I really appreciate how honest you are in our WhatsApp group and stuff and our conversations and stuff, and you let us know that you have been very scared the entire week, you know, leading up to recording and everything.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so liberating for me because I was also scared in one corner. And then later I realized, actually, all of us are just scared little girls and boys doing things, going about our days, you know, trying to live our dream and pursue our aspirations, you know. And actually, we are the same, right?
Yes.
Except that we are also the same in that we don't run away from it.
Yes.
We run towards it.
Yeah. Okay, when did the fear, I mean, this podcast, right, now we're reaching the end and we're in the flow, right?
Yeah.
But when you were you, any point did fear want to tell you to pull out? Because
never,
there was.
Never.
Oh my
because
God, 2 days. What?
Because I came up with this term which is called scare-sighted. Right? You all know. I teach you all that. And then in Finland, when you all did the ice water dipping, that was kind of like a holy ceremony to experience what it's like to do something scared, but at the same time, excited. So it's scare-sighted. And I know that this is the holy grail of self-development.
Yep.
Because if you can experience this every day, it just means that you are experiencing growth over and over and over and over again.
Yes.
It is the precursor to growth. And I am addicted to expanding myself, right? I'm never happy just to be the Dan yesterday. So the only way I don't stop growing is I have to say yes to the things that scare me.
Yes. Right?
And I need to get comfortable with discomfort.
Yeah.
Because once I get comfortable with discomfort and I risk feeling uncomfortable and scared, then I have potential to grow into a new place.
Yes.
And this is so important for you because, you know, your previous identity and life was in tatters. Right? You had to run towards something else.
Yes.
And that's also very scary because we're sitting here drumming, looking into the void. It's this black hole. There's a lot of unknown and uncertainty.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of fear in that as well.
Yes.
Right? The uncertainty and the unknown.
Yes.
But for you, I think that you are like, okay, what scares me? What feels right? Right? And then you say yes, hell yes to those things.
Yes. No, but I really wanted to chicken out 2 days before.
Really?
Yeah.
The shooting?
Yeah.
And what would you have said to me?
So,
I don't want to do already then.
Yeah, babe, I have this real conversation.
Then I'll be like, okay, I'll wait,
no, it's that's why I say fear is always here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like for me, it never goes away.
Then what stopped you? What stopped you from
telling me? I was sitting in my room, right, 2 days before.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you know what? I am actually really scared. And I tell you, fears are saying a lot of things.
You're scared of what? Scared of what?
So fear is saying in my head, Sylvia, everybody is going to hate this podcast.
Okay.
Sylvia, you are not going to be accepted for whatever you're going to be saying out here. Sylvia, you're going to be cancelled again. Right? And so many things like, Sylvia, you know, you can't do this. You know, Sylvia, you're not legitimate, right? And what are you trying to do here? There were so many voices in my head. So I sat in my room, you know, the room with my big table. And then I was like, okay, maybe I should text Dan and say that Dan, actually I'm not very comfortable with telling off all this story after all. I will play the card of I need privacy. I you know, like I'm not ready.
Need
please
to share.
Yeah, like can you honor my boundaries, babe? I this has this whole script worked out, right, to tell Dan. And in my head, it's like, because Dan is a life coach and, you know, he gives me safe space, he's likely to say yes.
No.
You know, sometimes when I sit in solitude, That's why, you know, I don't meet people because a lot of things are actually going on behind the scene, right? So Fia was saying all these things to me and she's so insidious. She even planned it out, your escape route, my escape route. Just tell Dan these, right? Mm-hmm. And then if Dan say no, you can always blame him that he doesn't respect your boundary. Mm-hmm. Fia says so many things and it's so sneaky, right? Mm-hmm. And I've learned one thing. Remember inside out when I say anger is red and, you know, I start seeing colours and all these emotions, right? I was like, babe, you're in the zone of letting fear take over your driver's seat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, really having awareness that I was in that space. And then in that moment, I sat down and I said, you know, I hear you, fear. You're saying a lot of things. Thank you for this speech. Thank you. It didn't feel like courage was there, but I literally have to talk to myself and thank you for your speech. Now let courage speak.
Ooh.
Yeah. My brother was probably like there sitting in that room stoning for like 3 hours. Mm. I don't know what she's doing, but this was going on. Mm. And I was like, courage, please speak. Mm. And courage comes out and say, right, who the hell cares? Oh, courage is a big person. Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But, and he was like, you are really going to be get banged by a bus tomorrow. And then what? You're going to be happy you didn't do this?
Oh my God.
You sat in this room and you chicken out and you disappoint all these people with a lie? Right?
I love that courage.
And, courage spoke up, I think a lot of other emotions start to speak up.
Yeah.
Another emotion that spoke up was fun and excitement. Mm-hmm. And they're like, how can you do this to us? But we're so excited to see what happens.
Yes, yes, yes.
There's so many people speaking. And courage, like, yeah, and I'm really not scared of what people are going to say about me. Mm-hmm. Are you really scared? So a lot of, you know, so it became like a room full of chatter when I told fear to stop talking. Mm-hmm. A lot of other emotions start speaking. Mm. And once they start speaking, I could really lean back and say, now, among all of you, who is going to take the wheel? And I decide, okay, courage, let's take the wheel.
Right.
You are the best one to take this wheel. If not, I'm going to continue sitting in this room and then lie to my friends.
I love that. I love that you. It's like, it's a council. You know,
it's a council,
and they all are invited to have a seat.
Yes, my board of directors are there.
And I love that because it is an advanced move, I feel, because most of our time, our council is a council of one. Which is the fear. One that speaks the loudest, and it's the fear or the anger or whatever, right? Yes. For that moment. And then we just stop there and then we run away and then we say, okay, adjourn the council, right? Council is adjourned, right? But I think what you did was, yes, we must give airtime to the fear. We must give airtime to the anger because they are our friends, right? But make sure that we give equal airtime to the other things.
Correct.
Right? The worst thing that can happen is not the worst case scenario, I always say, is not the worst case scenario that the fear is telling you or the monkey brain is telling you. The worst case scenario is the best case scenario not happening.
Yes.
That is our worst case scenario, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it? So beautiful.
It's crazy, right? Yeah, so I stoned there in my room for a good 3 hours while these whole board of directors were chatting.
Okay, for the record, I just want to clarify, should you have gone ahead to send me the message 2 days before we started recording, okay?
What?
In my corner, me being scared and shriveled, I will put aside my fear and I will tend to your fear and your monkey mind and I will coach the hell out of you. It would have been very easy for me to write on your fear and say, "Aiya, sama sama lah." You know, we are both very scared. Don't do.
Yeah, don't do, right?
Right?
Yes.
But I wouldn't have done that because we know it is... When I smell fear, I go like, I smell growth. I smell excitement.
Yes.
I smell evolution and expansion too.
Yes.
A lot of the good stuff, if we can get past the fear, do it scared anyway. So that's why we're here, ma.
You know, previous episode, I talked about solitude.
Yeah.
Right? People think solitude is sit by yourself.
But
I feel like only in solitude, you can encourage parts of you to come out.
Yes.
I really used to think that there was only one voice inside me.
Yes.
But there are so many parts of us. Mm. It's only in solitude, right, when Zay is stoning in her room alone, that I can speak to the part of me that's courage, to speak part of me that's excitement. And there was also one voice that was a daredevil. Like, come on, we really want this. Yes. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
Then I'm like, oh my goodness, this one needs to sit down.
The adventurer in you.
Yes. Right. And I think one other lesson also during this whole phase is I stopped again, right, you ask, like, is fear my friend? I don't think that she's a friend or a foe. I start to learn this word called, what's her original purpose? Mm. So I start to see that she's just doing her job. Like, if I'm born to be fear, my job is really to throw all these fearful statements in your head. Like, if she was an employee, she's an A-star employee. She had one job, to say fearful things. And she's nailing it.
Right.
And she nails it with everything. And if we really let her take the driver's seat and we don't do things scared, then she's really, like, she deserves to be promoted. In my head, I'm like, fear needs to do her job. And that is why I'm not going to not listen to her or try to push her away or whatever. I just need to let her do her job. And then I know that the other emotions I have also have their role to play, which is to do their job. And courage will never fail you because his job is to be courageous. Right? Excitement's job is to be exciting. It's to woo! Like, I think there's a part of me that's crazy. I think there's a crazy in me.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, even throughout this entire saga, right? There was always a voice in me that was like, woo! Then
enjoying,
it's
right.
crazy. I don't know what emotion to call it. Right. I think it's crazy. Yeah. So in my head, it's also this board of directors, right? There's no one to love or hate. They're all really here to serve their purpose and do their job.
I love that we're talking about fear, and suddenly it dawned upon me suddenly at this moment that in terms of human design,
yeah.
Your authority is the spleen.
Yeah.
It's splenic authority.
Yes, what is that?
And splenic authority governs...
fear?
Fear.
Oh my gosh. That is why...
That's why 2 days before recording, it would have come up because it's the fear center.
Yeah.
But it is also the center of intuition and instinct.
Yes.
So they all have a part to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to get good at fear. What do you think is the antidote to fear then?
It's knowing that there's fear in me, there's also courage, there's also excitement, there's also everybody else. So do it with fear in the room.
Right.
Like, all my board of directors are there. Do it because all of us are here. And fear will never go away. That's why she's still in this room. Right? So it's do it scared.
And doing it scared means taking action.
Yes.
So we're on the same page because I have come to deduce that the best antidote to alchemize fear is to show up and take action, no matter how small.
Correct.
Aligned, intentional, discerning action, right? And I know, you know, if you were to tell coaches or the people listening, you'll be like, take action, easier said than done. The reason why I'm not taking action is precisely because I'm afraid.
Yep.
If I knew how to take action, I would have taken it already. So then they will say they are like in a bind. They are looping,
they're in a loop.
Right? Too fearful to take action. But then action, you say, is the solution to my problem.
Yes.
So the solution is my problem. The problem is my solution. So you will just be looping endlessly.
Yes.
So when that happens, I have an antidote to the antidote. So if, let's say, you know that taking action is the antidote and you're not taking action, then I'm telling you that that's because you have your focus the wrong way around. Most of the time, we're not taking action because we're so focused on our individual selves, right? We're talking about, oh, people will cancel us. What if people have an opinion? What if people are wrong about me? What if people, you know, spew nasty comments on my YouTube page or whatever? And you just continue to, like, silence yourself, minimize. I'm saying, flip the script. Definitely, in this day and age, if you're a creator, a worthy creator creating great stuff, there will be people who will have their opinions about what you're creating.
Yes, definitely.
But I feel that they exist, but they will be the minority because you are not speaking to these people, right? Now, who are you serving? What is the impact that you want to create? That is what we have to focus on that will drive our action. Because otherwise, you are saying, because of the few Tom, Dick and Marys, the seven of them, all seven of them who are the loudest, I'm going to silence myself.
Why is it Mary and not Harry?
Because I'm all about equality, you know, and I love to give women a voice, right? Tom, Dick and Marys, okay?
All seven of them.
All seven of them with the loudest voices, right? I'm saying with the seven of them, I'm going to stop myself from putting my work out there.
Yep.
And deny the 70,000 people who could be impacted, you know, and really whose lives can be transformed because of what I've got to say. Mm. I think that's a very terrible trade-off, yep. right? So for me, my encouragement to myself will always be like, it is okay. Don't be surprised when people have something to say. Expect it.
Yeah.
What? There's no plan B. The only plan B is you hide and then you just hide from the whole world.
Yes.
And be very safe.
Yes.
But then that would be a very sad yes. life.
The alternate reality, right? If I really let fear take over, would be I was in that room, mm-hmm. right? I tell you I can't do it, mm-hmm. right? None of us here will be here doing it. Mm-hmm. I will be in that room mm-hmm. and I know who will come if I let fear take the wheel. All her friends will join, and that is regret. Then right. I'll have a regret, pity
disappointment.
Party. Yes, disappointment.
Guilt.
Yes.
Anger.
Yes.
And maybe even hate will join
yes.
the crew as well.
And
right.
Yes. Right. So I was like, I have two choices. Uh-huh. I have two group of people. Right. So it is really that there will always be people who will be naysayers. Mm-hmm. Right. And for me, I think now, even as we record this podcast, we really don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But what makes you feel like this is the right thing?
Me? Mm. I feel that this is the right thing because it is a full-bodied hell yes to me. Like,
ooh,
like okay. even though... And I think that humans are advanced creatures, right? Mm. I feel that when it comes to emotions... I've come to realize that I can have many emotions at the same
yes,
time.
Yes, they're all in the same room.
Yeah. So I've already give enough, I know how to give enough airtime to all my other emotions. So yes, I'm scared. But then I also have very loud emotions that are happening at the same time, which is like something in my body is saying, yes, 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 yes. Right? Because I've done enough of scare sighting things and I've generated enough evidence to tell me that if you would say yes to that invitation, if you would have an energetic handshake to this scary invitation that is also exciting to you, good things will follow. Mm. I've generated tons of evidence, right? And so I know this is the methodology. This is literally my GPS. So to other people, when I always tell them, you know what, every time before I record a podcast, oh, I need to yatsing, I need to drink gin and tonic or some champagne, right? I'm like, I'm always very nervous. The people, you know what they'll say? Don't lie lah, Dan. You are so confident. You scared, man. You do IG live like you're drinking water and breathing air. But I'm like, this is what I'm trying to educate everybody, that there is fear in my room. Why do you think I want to tell people that I'm scared? Because truly, I'm scared. But I do it anyway. I'm trying to normalize the feeling of being scared and doing it anyway. And I did forget your question. The reason why I said yes also is because in a grander cosmos way, 2024 is a year of the f*** it, I call it. It's a f*** it year. So I did an energy forecast of 2024 on my IG and it was very popular and it kind of went viral, right? I was shared around a lot. And 2024, last year, 2023 was the year of the plot twist.
Yes.
We all felt it, right? And then 2024, I have good news for everybody, for you and I also. It is the year of massive transformation and quantum leaps. Should you say yes to the invitation? So we have to put in the hard work. And the hard work. It's going to feel hard, but it's going to feel so sweet when we do the hard work. This year is going to be about making decisions after decisions after decisions. Why? Because of the grand trine that is happening in August and also the Jupiter conjunction in April. It means that we will be presented with a lot of unforeseen, surprising opportunities, invitations and options. There will
so
be an
fun.
Abundance of it, you know. We don't even have enough time, okay? So we really need to be very discerning to decide what kind of projects and invitations and things that we're going to say yes to. And how do you be discerning? You need to know your core values, your core desires, and the impact and the vision that you have for the world. So when we started talking about doing Dirty Messy Free, it was a hell yes to me. It was a huge invitation to get out of my comfort zone because I've never done video in this format.
Oh, yes!
You know, all these things. And, you know, I'm very, very conscious
about
the way I look.
You gave me your virgin face experience.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I'm like, oh, you know, I'm... Every day that we're here, you know, with the crew, you know, like wearing this kind of clothes, you know I like to be comfortable and stuff. It's constantly putting on makeup on my face. It challenges me every stop of the way. So every single decision brings a little bit of fear. You know, so it's just little fear, little micro fears, right? But I said yes because ultimately, I feel that this is a quantum leap, right? And it is a full body hell yes. I feel excited. It is an expansion and not a contraction. It doesn't feel heavy. There is fear, but there is no sense of exhaustion or heaviness that weighs down on me. In fact, that fear felt really sweet. It felt energizing. That fear feels like empowering. It feels like I'm scared, but I also want to engage with this opportunity. So this is what this year is all about. And I feel that...
Year of the f*** it.
The year of the f*** it. And I'll tell you why, for all of you who are listening to us on the podcast, if you have a dream or a desire that you have spoken about for the longest time and you have done nary a bit about it, this is the year, because the universe will literally cradle you and support you to do hard work. This is the year where hard work feels sweet and good. And we are supposed to be building new things this year. We want to harness all that energy. You don't want to be swimming against the tide. You want to swim along the waves so we can achieve more. So that's why I said hell yes to this project.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah.
No, I love the energy because it's so liberating, right? It's year of the f*** it.
Yes.
Hell yes.
Yes.
Just go and do.
Because you know what?
Let's go.
What is it? There's no other alternative, right? Yeah. The other alternative is, okay, then people will say, but what if we fail? I'm like, okay, back to what Sylvia said earlier on. Mm. When you fail, even if it's an unwanted thing, there is always a free lesson in it.
It's free. Yeah, the lesson
it's
is free.
It's free. Right? And then you just what? You just pick yourself up and then you just take the next step. And how do you ever climb a mountain? You take one step at a time. This is life. This is how all the things in our life are being created. One step at a time. Right? We fail our way toward success. With all the insights.
Oh my gosh, can you please say that again? It's so funny.
We fail forward towards our success. Because failure, right, requires a definite endpoint in which you measure the outcome. Then, let's say this is finite. You say this is a finite point, then you can measure and say, failed, F9, right? Yes. But as long as you are always taking steps towards that mountain, that success is inevitable to you, then there is no failure. There's only data that you're collecting. Insights and wisdom that you are gathering and accumulating that will inform your next step. You will take a better step.
Wow.
Right?
I love it because I'm envisioning myself, right, like a rock. Then the rock has my face on it. And then I fail my way to
forward. You just roll and tumble.
That's
and tumble.
Me, really.
Right. And then you know what? It's more fun if you all fail together, right? I mean, I've got your back, you've got my back. And then we just go one corner and cry, lor.
Yes.
Right? Cry already, then laugh, lor.
Oh my God, yes.
Right? Then pick ourselves up again and say, okay, then what's next?
Oh, that's so liberating, you know.
Yes, there is a sense of levity and lightness of being when we approach life like that.
Actually, have that spaciousness to allow for failure in the room. Mm-hmm. Again, not fearing him in the room, but know that he also exists in the room, right? Mm-hmm. And you need to fail your way to success.
Yeah. Like my question to you is, okay, you have one shot as Sylvia. I have one shot as Dan, right? We have this one shot at living a wild, carefree life.
Yes.
Should we say yes to it?
Yes.
What do we want to create?
Yes.
What sort of impact are we going to create?
Yes.
What are we going to say yes to? Mm. What are we going to say no to? Mm. That is life. There is no other option. Mm. So now that we have unpacked fear and we know that this is a year of the action, we need to have some strong call to actions for our listeners, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
So what's our call to action?
The call to action is, is a new one for me, which is, I am going to be here to fail my way to success.
I love that.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to hide from any of the failures that are also inevitable should I take the risk, right, to try and learn all these things. Mm-hmm. For me now, I just want to feel alive. Mm-hmm. I just want to feel like I'm doing the things that it's calling out for me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to live my life small because I've been hurt before. Mm-hmm. I want to live my life big and try things, right? So I think Dirty Messy Free is definitely going to be a space where I allow myself to fail my way to success. And should you feel like this is the energy, right, that you want to be in, join us. I'm very clear that this will be a fun journey because there's also a crazy in me that's saying that, Woo! This is going to be f***ing fun.
This is going to be so fun. And talking about fun, I think in this season of my life, I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirts. I've been around the block many, many times. In this season of my life, all I'm obsessed with and I'm interested in, all that excites me is to do fun things with fun people. That's it.
I love it.
I have no other desire other than to create fun stuff with fun people, with the people I love, the people I respect. Mm. You know, I respect you a lot. The people whom I feel has so much creativity, so much love, so much empathy for the world, so much excitement. And then we just do fun things and we enjoy every day.
Yes.
And when we approach life like that, right, then it doesn't really matter what the outcome is. People watch law. People have things to say, don't say, I don't care. Because you know what? 99% of the journey was in the creating with the people I love.
Yes.
It is already super successful to me.
Yes.
So, guys, if you are ready for expansion into your next level, if you are ready for a breakthrough, please come and join us in this grand, big, happy family, Dirty, Messy, Free.
Yes. Click on the link below. It's going to be one hell of a crazy ride together.
Join us. Hope to see you.